In the United States, access to clean water for most people is as close as the kitchen tap. But globally, nearly 40% of the population hand carries their water from rivers, streams, and other small sources. And more than a billion people don't have access to safe drinking water at all. Journalist and author Diane Rains Ward believes the global thirst for water could fuel conflicts even greater than today's battles for oil and other natural resources. Diane Rains Ward visited five continents and spent a decade researching her latest book, Water Wars, Drought, Flood, Folly, and the Politics of Thirst.
It depends a lot on where you live. I live in the eastern United States, so I've grown up in a green landscape. People who live in the American West have a different story to tell, and it's much more serious an issue there already. But I suspect many people are going to be facing water shortages now, water crises of one sort or another. Even Christine Todd Whitman, who was George Bush's head of the EPA, said that she thought that water was going to be the big problem of this century. And she had no idea what we were going to do about it. Water problems are certainly in our future. While the population doubled after the middle of the last century, water withdrawals tripled. At the same time, we're just pouring more and more things into our water. Whether directly or indirectly, we're polluting more and more water. Half the world's rivers are now either very polluted or running dry.
In the book, you use the term water stress. How do you define water stress? Because you say that a third of all countries already suffer from water stress.
1.5 billion people don't have enough water to meet their daily needs. I tend to think of it in a simple way these days because when I wash my dishes at night, I have water to wash my dishes. I can take a shower. I can water my plants. But I've seen women around the world washing their dishes with a dirty rag or sometimes with dirt. It's very hard for us when we get our water from a tap to envision what real water shortage is in the lives of people who don't have enough. 2 million people die every year. That's, I think, a rough figure. I've heard it be higher. I've heard it be lower. I think 2 million is safe to say, really. A lot of those people are children, and they're dying of water-related diseases. That's water stress.
What's the number one reason for all of that stress?
Well, nothing about water is simple, so there's never one answer to anything, and nor is there one statistic. There are many reasons. Just adequate treatment of sewage, adequate water supply systems in developing countries are a major, major problem. But really, enough water is also getting to be more and more of a problem as our population grows. It took all of our history until 1830 AD to put a billion people on the planet, but the next billion were added in only 100 years. And the last billion were put on the planet in 12. So we've got to face now what it means to keep this population alive, because agriculture takes about 70% of our water use around the world. At the same time, we're fouling more and more of it with the stresses of industry, the things that industry adds to water. There's agricultural pollution, fertilizers, pesticides. Those things don't necessarily get dumped directly into a river, but they go into aquifers. They go into the ground, and what happens on the ground happens to our water.
I wonder, when does the population top out? 10 billion, 20 billion, then the Earth can no longer handle all of that in terms of water supply.
That's a very interesting question, and I think we don't have the answers to that. Scientists use the term carrying capacity. A lot of people use the term carrying capacity. And you have to think about land which can carry enough agriculture to feed 6 billion people for a while may be so damaged by that process that it cannot feed even a quarter of that number indefinitely. It takes 1,000 tons of water to produce a ton of grain, 2,000 tons of water for a ton of rice, and 20 tons for a pound of hamburger, 100 tons of water for a 1 kilo steak. And your automobile, by the time it hits the road, has sucked up 50 times its own weight in water. So the amounts of water we use in agriculture and industry are staggering. And in fact, our consumption is enormous compared to people in developing countries.
It was interesting in reading your book, it struck me that it's human intervention, whether it's building a dam or redirecting water, that seems to cause a number of the major crises around the world in terms of water, and yet you argue that human intervention is necessary to save water. It seems a bit ironic in some ways.
Well, it's not simple. And human intervention has done a great deal of harm, and it can do a lot more harm. There are 261 rivers that flow from one country into another. An example that I like to use of the damage that can be done is, of course, a country like Turkey, which can deprive Syria and Iraq of water, but also China. In a wetter place, China is building a series of large dams in the upper Mekong Delta, which endanger all of the nations that depend on that river for life. So when you have this kind of intervention, you have politically difficult situations.
There seems to be a number of conflicts that are always fought over natural resources. Do you think that conflicts in the future will be fought over water?
This is a big question, and obviously the title of my book, which my publisher encouraged, by the way, that actually wasn't my title. I have to admit that. My title was Praying for Rain, because the book is more about people and water. But the subject of water wars is an interesting one. I think water has been a factor in many wars that have been fought. It certainly was a major factor in the Six Days War with Israel and her neighbors. In Iraq, if you were a marsh Arab and you had been deprived of all the water in which you lived by Saddam Hussein, who built a canal to send that water away, essentially cutting off the life flow of your home, you'd think you were the victim of a water war. So although it has been a part of wars, it hasn't really been a single major cause of wars.
So whose responsibility is it to help the world's water system stay intact and provide enough benefits to everyone all around the world?
All decisions about water are made by governments. Every dam that's built, there's government approval. In a study that recently looked at water shortages and how many people have water, then in a country like Haiti, where the government is less responsible and there's less care, many more people are without water than next door on the same island in the Dominican Republic, which has a more responsible government and its people really have more water. Governments make all the difference in the world. And a wonderful thing to me has been to see an explosion in the United States of coalitions and groups of people, all kinds of people, from environmentalists to government organizations to Kiwanis clubs, working together to save their rivers, save their urban water supply. I just spoke to a group in New Paltz, New York, the Mohonk Conservancy. They asked me to come and speak, and they were getting interested in water issues. They formed a group to deal with pollution in their watershed. Things like this are enormously encouraging. It used to be somebody else's issue, but now I think certainly it's our issue for our own water. And if we get involved on that level, then I think that word spreads.
One final question. It might seem a little strange, but you've traveled all over the world. You've been to, I don't know, countless number of countries. What is the one spot that has the best tasting tap water?
The best tasting tap water. It might be here. Because in many of the places I've traveled, I don't drink the tap water. I have no idea what the tap water tastes like. You know, it comes out of a bottle for me. And I know if I don't drink that water, I'm going to be very unhappy before long, because I've had the tap water in some places where I really shouldn't have. So I tend to be very careful. New York City tap water has long been famous as supposedly the best tap water in the country. That's unfortunately as there are more and more birds, more and more population, and this beautiful old system of reservoirs that delivers our water to us is quite creaky. So the water isn't as good as it used to be, and I now boil my water, filter my water, even here in New York City.
Diane Rains Ward is the author of Water Wars, Drought, Flood, Folly, and the Politics of Thirst. I spoke with her in New York.